Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I am an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host. In 2 days, I'll be a 27-year talk radio host. And this is Haunted Playground. You can find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. You can find us at HauntedPlayground.com. And, of course, the network at LiveParanormal.com and syndicated around the world on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, more that I never remember. All around the world, please find us, the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I do 2 shows for this network. I do Raising the Vibration on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, and this show, Haunted Playground, on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. And then, of course, I do 3 video shows for Live Paranormal's Video Network, including Haunted Playground After Dark, which I'll be doing tonight at 9 o'clock Pacific Time. Every week on Haunted Playground, I gather folks that I believe to be the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in both the paranormal and spiritual communities, and we talk about everything that exists outside of the 3 dimensions, whether you're wondering if there's life after death or you believe maybe you have a griffin in your backyard. We talk about all of that here on Haunted Playground. My guest today is a wonderfully talented psychic medium, astrologer. She's a paranormal and scholar. She knows about just about everything, and so much fun to have on the show, and a dear friend. She's one of America's astrologers. Please welcome to the show the wonderful Vox Voltaire is here. Hello, my friend. It's so good to have you here on this show on my new affiliate. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sheena, for having me on the show. It's been a while.
Oh, where I am, you're welcome. Yeah, this crazy global pandemic hit and set us all back 18 months. How are you faring through it? How are you feeling about it? And how has it changed you spiritually and emotionally?
Great question. Well, as you remember, maybe other people might as well, we did a huge conference back, I think it was in January of 2020, or right before 2020, and we predicted everything that happened. And I have the tape recordings. And we did know it was going to be this bad. But, you know, when you're spiritual, you want to give people hope for the future. What happened with me, I do a lot of angel meditation, as my students and clients know. And I had a direct conversation with my angel who said, literally, "Box, get out of town." I basically sold everything I owned, bought a new car, and drove to the East Coast, where I laid low and stayed healthy and finished some books in a new tarot deck.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, I don't want stalkers to show up on your door, but what part of the country did you land in and why did you pick that place?
Well, I went to a place that's on my Jupiter line astrologically with a thing called cartomancy. And let's put it this way, I'm in a beautiful place near the beach, but more than that, I shall not say.
Okay. It's a secret for no stalkers.
It's not
a place you've ever lived before. It's not a place you have family.
No.
It really was 100% a spiritual move.
A total spiritual move. And then the weird thing was after that, one of my other family members decided to come to the same little town that neither one of us had ever heard of. So
Very
strange.
Oh, wow.
Did you know your family member was coming, or you just found out when they showed up?
I found out, like, about a couple of days before they showed up.
So wow.
It was,
yeah,
I mean, literally.
There are no accidents, right?
Well, really, sometimes doubt the weird things that we'll say as psychics and astrologers, but I'm telling you, we're not making this up, and you know me. So there's no reason to like, fabricate a strange story, because my life is just that way, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful place, beautiful weather, and praise God, always in the highest. It was just like a really safe place to land, working out, staying away from people, wearing my mask, really just seriously concentrating on my work and my clients and my students. And so in a really weird way, it has been a very positive experience for me, although I'm really regretting the terrible things that have happened to people all around me. I kind of think maybe God protects us a little bit so we can guide other people.
I agree. You know, it's funny because I grew up at the beach in Orange County, an hour south of L.A., and scratched and clawed to get out as an adolescent person because I didn't agree with a lot of the spiritual and political oppression down here at the time in the 80s. It's changed, and I've changed. But then weird things kept calling me home. I reconnected with my best friend from high school who lives down here and have became extremely close to her family and her mother, who's like my second mom. Then a friend of mine who lived in L.A. very close to me introduced me to his cousin who lived in the same town I grew up in. She has become like my sister, my other best friend. Everything kept kind of pulling me down here. And I started thinking in 2019 that maybe after inheriting my mom's house when she passed in 2016, I might fix it up and instead of renting it, maybe live between the two places. And the beach kept calling me. And then lo and behold, at the end of 2019, after being single for the better part of 10 years and expecting to always be single, met and fell in love with this wonderful person who lived one town over from where I grew up at the beach. And I think we'd been together 2 days when you and I did that conference in January of 2020. I basically came down here Valentine's weekend. I came down here the next weekend. And then the next weekend, we all got COVID. So I stayed down here. And by the time we recovered from COVID, we were all locked down. So it basically was supposed to be this sort of commuting relationship where we saw each other when we could. And then there was COVID and there was nowhere to go. And LA was completely locked down. So I wound up down here and kind of staying down here and unbeknownst to me, loving it down here where I grew up, where I fought so hard to get away from in the 80s. And I am now fixing my mom's house up for us all to move into. My partner has 3 kids. And loving kind of quietness of being at the beach and being off of the beaten path and all of these things that I never thought I would say I came back to. I find this very, you know, because everything in the world shut down in my Los Angeles life. What didn't shut down, what really thrived, was my online teaching, you know, my crystals, my spiritual work, my practice, all that stuff flourished. And I think that there's a spiritual lesson in following your nose and your heart and just following the crumbs that spirit gives you. And I think that this pandemic for everybody has been a reset. And it's just, what are you going to do with the reset? And for me, it was really a lesson about going home, going back from whence I came, and really loving the energy of being at the ocean and being in a place that isn't so high stress, and that there, you really do, people down here just kind of work to live. And loving that and then having this whole thriving spiritual practice that goes on online. And then, you know, my radio affiliate shut down. I got this gig, and I can do this from anywhere in the world because we're syndicated. So my life has completely changed for the better. I mean, except for having COVID was not fun, and the long-haul effects of COVID is not fun. But what a different life than the life I had when I last saw you 18 months ago. Rephrase
that a little bit. The phone cut out a teeny bit.
Oh, I said, what a different life I have than the life I had when I last saw you 18 months ago.
Oh, yeah. And is this our little Gemini friend who was born on May 26th?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. I have a great memory.
Yes, you do have a good memory. Yeah, because that was you met her the last time we actually had an audience at my church service.
That's right. She was a lovely person.
Your little Gemini
you guys
and I just celebrated our 18-month anniversary.
Well, fantastic. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, for people out there listening, it's hard to start a relationship in the middle of a pandemic. It's even harder when it's very much your twin flame relationship and you're kind of starting your forever in a time when the world isn't moving. I mean, these, I think, are just the different kinds of challenges, Vox, that spirit throws us all the time. And it's just about going with the flow, right?
Yeah, and in a strange way, it's almost like whatever could have happened that might have got in the way of that relationship was made certain not to get in the way of that relationship, so you would be with one another on a pretty constant level. That's how it seems to me, you know?
Yeah.
And keeping a Gemini relationship floating, especially during a pandemic, I mean, you must be Mother Teresa over there.
let me tell you something. Gemini, Aries, Moon, and Aquarius rising. And Gemini Venus. I think I've done some serious tap dancing here.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I'm surprised that the windows don't blow off the house with all that energy in there.
That's not a
criticism.
I'm sorry?
I was saying that's not a criticism. That's a lot of positive energy going on.
And I think
planets.
That... I've learned so much, you know. I mean, I'm kind of a mom for the first time. I mean, certainly like a soul mom, and
right.
I kind of always wanted kids, but it was never the right time. And I would always say, well, someday I'll just adopt three teenagers, and then three teenagers have just fallen into my life. So
voila,
you know, it's amazing how you get what you ask for, right? I mean, I think that people, I know your clients probably do the same as mine, are always asking, like, how do I bring this into my life? And I always say, you know, spirit's a little like Santa Claus. They're just kind of waiting for you to tell them what you want. But oftentimes we don't ask for what we want. We're always making excuses for why we shouldn't have what we want. And sometimes it's really just a lesson in saying, you know, I would really like this, or I would like this to come in my life, and then just sort of focusing on it. And if you have if you're at the right place in your life and you've done the work on yourself, spirit usually seems to be very happy to bring in whatever it is that you need. Do you find that to be the case too?
Yeah, I do as well. However, in a typical Vox contrasting scenario, sometimes if you haven't done the work on, you know how I roll.
I know.
I'm the psychic of no. If you don't do the work on yourself and you're trying to manifest, but you're not ready, then that's going to be a challenge, to put it mildly, you know.
Right.
So that's why some people say, watch out what you wish for. I don't like to link fear to our wishes. I just think if you do the work and you're ready for it, you'll have less of a challenge. So, yeah, I basically agree with you on that, you know.
And I agree with
Absolutely.
You, too. You know, I always tell the story that when The Secret was big, right, all the L.A. people were making the vision board. And
right.
I had a friend who was bragging to me that she was taking all these classes and becoming so spiritual, and everything was about her past. And then one day she told me she was going to make a vision board. And she came over
right.
and said, I want to bring you my vision board and show it to you. So I'm expecting it's going to be all this lofty spiritual stuff, right? Because that's how I think. She brings the vision
right.
board, and it literally was $1 million, a Maserati, Fabio, and a pair of rollerblades, which always made me laugh at the end because I thought, honey, you don't need to manifest roller blades. They're like $30 at Walmart. Just go get some. But that was her vision board. That was her big spiritual vision board. And I always sort of consider that like, you know, entertainment industry spirituality, where your idea of what God is a list of gimme, 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 gimme. And it has nothing to do with your spiritual path. It's just this kind of outlandish stuff that you want. So I think
you know, excuse me, when that movie and the book came out about the secret, there's no secret, first off. That book and all that manifestation nonsense was just I don't know what else to call it, basically a scam of spirituality, which tricked people into getting into spirituality for all of the wrong reasons. And I can't stand it personally. But I also don't want to be a spiritual, show spiritual arrogance, you know what I mean? Because that could be a tendency as well. So what I have noticed, you want to hear my crazy vision board story? You're going to love the people.
Yes.
Be careful with the feng shui of your spirit board. Now I'm going to explain. I was taking some Kundalini yoga classes back at the Golden Bridge back in 2009. And this really wonderful lady, acting teacher, was like, oh, yeah, let's do the vision board. And they had like 10,000 Vogue magazines they were cutting stuff out of. Well, mine was basically travel, okay? And it had Egypt and Paris and blah, 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 the whole thing. It was just amazing. And in front of my desk was a bookshelf, so I couldn't hang it there. So I put it to my right side, which was in the direct viewpoint of my partner at the time. Okay, so we got an airplane going over here. So anyway, about 3 months after this 10-year relationship, he just wanted to break up out of nowhere, clear blue sky, even though I kind of astrologically could sense it was going to happen. And it turns out he had been staring at my vision board. After we broke up, he posted on his Facebook page all the places that he visited that were on my vision board, including the Great Pyramid of Egypt. I was really annoyed. Really annoyed, to put it mildly. I was like, wait a minute. He took a picture of himself laying down in the Great Pyramid. And I was, like, fuming, like, what? So if you're going to do a vision board.
Right,
you know,
yes. Then your vision board needs to be your own, not one you steal from somebody else. Yeah, but that is kind of a relationship revenge story, isn't it? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to do everything on your vision board. That's fantastic.
But
it's like New Age spite.
But you know what? He didn't really register that. It really kind of went over his head, you know. But here's something kind of interesting about the shallow vision board technique of your friend. I'm also a licensed hypnotherapist. And one of the things that you learn as a hypnotherapist is that the mind does not recognize language, which is why a lot of people that do affirmations may not necessarily always really click with them. What your mind works on is visuals. So if the person wants to win $1 million so they can buy the Lamborghini, it's better to just put the picture of what you want to spend the money for rather than this abstract concept of what money is, you know. But maybe she's out there with Fabio on the inline skating. I don't know.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? The rollerblades. I thought, really? Because you can go get yourself some rollerblades. I thought it was the strangest combo. I'll tell you my most current manifestation story. I love cats, right? I'm a cat lady, and I love blues.
Oh,
they're my favorites. And my cat is very elderly, and I don't know how much longer she's going to be with us. And I always told myself, after that, no more cats. I took care of cats. I took care of two partners that were musicians, so basically misbehaved children. I took care of my mom. I took care of the partner's dog when it was dropped off with me, and she no longer wanted to take care of it. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. No more animals for a while, because my partner here has
dogs and a bird, and I'm like, fantastic. So my partner's a therapist, and she got these cute little cat head pillows because a lot of her clients are kids for her office.
Right.
And she's like, and I got you this one, and it's this little cute picture of a – it's a little pillow of a blue, and they're doing that things that cats do where they close their eyes when they love you. So I stuck it
right.
up on the headboard of our bed, but I didn't – thinking I put it on a giant selenite wand because I have a giant selenite wand on the headboard of my bed, and I just stuck the pillow on it. So, you know, a couple months later – out of the blue, my partner decides she wants to foster this litter of cats, and it was supposed to be four tabbies. And when they were when they arrived, they were 10 days old. When they arrived, a little 3-day-old blue was stuck in the basket, and they basically said, "Look, we were gonna. He was at a kill shelter. They were gonna euthanize him this afternoon, and we took him. And the only way we can get him crying is we put him in with these cats. So, do you mind adding him on?" So the first time I held him, I mean, he was literally like 3 inches long. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's my baby. And now we've adopted him. His name is Cullen. He turned 4 months old today. So if you're telling yourself you don't want any more pets, do not put a pillow of the pet on a selenite wand because it's basically unintentional manifestation.
Oh, yeah. And did you notice what you said? You said the cat came to you from out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it's a blue cat.
And he's a blue cat. Yeah. He's a beautiful boy.
Voila.
And he's brought so much joy to this house. Last night we were sitting here, and we have a big shepherd pit mix, and she's lovely, but she can be very depressed. And they've really bonded. So, you know, she's like 70 pounds and he's like 3 pounds. Last night she was laying up on the bed and he came from the bed and he put his little arms around her and like kissed her head. Like he puts his little arms around your neck and kisses you. So, you know,
that's
sometimes
adorable.
We manifest things without knowing we're doing it. So if anybody doesn't want something for reals, don't put a replica of it on a selenite wand. Basically screaming to the universe, bring me this, bring me this.
Especially, you know, on a crystal of any type. So forget that. That's just going to intensify it, you know.
I know.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's some crazy astrological stuff getting ready to happen. Are you ready?
I know. I was wanting to know all about that. Are we in a Saturn return yet, or is it coming?
Well, it depends on where your Saturn is and what year you're born. For people that are between 27 to 30 right now, they're going through their first Saturn return in the sign of Aquarius, which is pretty hardcore. And then there are some people between like 50, usually around 56 to 58 or more, depending on the retrogrades of Saturn, they'll be going through their second Saturn return. And a couple of clients of mine who have an interesting age gap in their relationship, one of them is in the process of going to their first Saturn return, while the older partner is going to their second. And boy, oh boy, it's not a fun thing. Yeah,
so 56 is when you start your second Saturn return?
Yes. So like 28 and 28, which is 56, and it lasts a 2.5-year cycle. Now, the thing that's going on right now, there's people right now that are dealing with 29 degrees Aquarius, because Jupiter just went retrograde back into Aquarius. So they're having a weird time. So a lot of people that things were going pretty well about 3 months ago, they're kind of sliding backwards to some of the more challenging times from about six months to a year ago. But the good news is that it will shift back in October of this year. And then by around March 2022, the whole negative Saturn thing should be moving forward, you know. So praise the Lord, you know. But, you know, people give Saturn retrograde a bad rap. It's basically just, you know when you're vacuuming the rug and you've spilled something on the rug, and so you vacuum it. And to me, Saturn retrograde is you go back over the place that you just vacuumed, and then you go back over it, It's like a back and forth kind of situation, and it's really helpful. It's also like raking a lawn. Oh, you missed a leaf. You've got to go back. And if you don't learn your lessons during the first Saturn return, it doesn't mean it always has to be a bad thing. It's definitely a learning curve. But if you don't pay attention and you don't learn what happens by the time you get to the second one, you'll just feel like, you know, you wish you had studied and done the work, because it can become extremely overwhelming. You know, because around 56, a person goes, yeah, I think I know what's going on. Wrong. You know, God's always sending us a pop quiz, you know.
Right, but, and the Saturn return is in what sign?
It's in Aquarius. Now, before they discovered Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, Saturn used to be the ancient ruler of Aquarius. So he's relatively hardcore, even though Aquarius is supposed to be this nice, fluffy, light, healing sign. When Saturn is there, he's extra strict. He's putting on the corset. He's putting on the braces. You know, he's got the hardcore boundaries. And also because Aquarius rules electricity, what can happen is sudden events can happen that throw you off, like, you know, complete life change, and it's completely unexpected, you know, like, so you can expect the unexpected, but, you know, as a psychic, we could expect something to happen based on our intuition or astrologically or numerologically, and yet when it happens, there's still an element of surprise. Like, oh, I was even expecting that, but not from that direction, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So it's just the universe keeping us on our toes, and it's not bad luck.
It's interesting think of Aquarius as a light and airy sign, Vox, because I think of Aquarians as being habitual overthinkers and folks that sometimes get stuck in their own internal loop and have trouble getting out of it and moving forward.
Yeah, those are the problematic aspects of the light and the dark of each sign. Like, there's the light and dark of each sign, plus the male and the female are totally different, plus the children are totally different, and the male children and the female children are totally different, and the dog, Aquarius dog, is different than Aquarius cat.
Oh.
I mean, you can't just lump them all in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what your cat's birthday is?
Mm-hmm. April 4th. He's an Easter baby. April 4th.
Definitely going to have his own way of doing things. He may have some planets
and
Pisces that can become really spiritual, very loving, but definitely good protector cat, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm the second, so we're almost twins.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, you know, not at all. So, yeah, those are some things about the Aquarius energies. The other thing, too, we're getting a major aspect this Friday on August 6th, and it's going to be a Sun-Uranus square. You have the Sun, it's going to be at 14 degrees Leo, and the Uranus square in a fixed sign of Taurus is also at that same degree. So even starting tomorrow, we may hear some really insane headlines, things that just happen out of nowhere, usually involving electricity or explosions or just strange things with our computers. Also, Aquarius is the higher octave of Mercury and rules communication. So there can be problems with online networking and any kinds of social media, blacking out, things like that. But it's only temporary, but my feeling is that people will definitely notice it. Any people that have Aquarius, Taurus, or Leo energy in their charts will definitely be affected by it. So it's definitely a day to
what do you think about
roast marshmallows or something safely in the oven.
Right, but not with technology, old-fashioned way with a stick and a flame. What do you think of the Lion's Gate? People were talking a lot on my video show last night about the Lion's Gate.
Oh, well, the Lion's Gate from the ancient Egyptian ritual?
I guess.
Do you know
Lion's
about that?
Gate, no, I don't. Is it October 1st to October 14th? Is that when it is?
Well, they may be reading a really old book, because technically the Lionsgate has been closed for about over 20 years now.
Oh,
the
okay.
The actual Lionsgate,
I guess people...
in the in the sky, there's like a Stargate of the Lionsgate, and there was supposed to be a group of rituals that should have been done over a consecutive 10-year period or longer, and then supposedly around 1998 those gates closed. Of course, vortexes and portals don't close forever, so I have not heard resurgence of the Lionsgate. It's always possible. Now, what I will say is it is aligned with the rising of the Nile, and that happens on July 23rd. That's the rising of the Nile and the feast of Tahuti, the ancient Egyptian god of magic. So that may be something that they're also talking about. But what have you heard about it?
Just that it's supposed to be this this very spiritually latent period where anything that's going on in your life is sort of extremely energetically exemplified during that time. I didn't know it was something that had closed. People talk about it every year. So.
Yeah. Well, it was The Lion's Path and The Lion's Gate, and it was a really popular book back in the late 80s and through the 90s, and they had an ephemeris of all the dates and times that certain rituals should be done. And it wasn't witchcraft or anything like that. It was just some ancient Egyptian stuff. So maybe there's some people that are out there still doing it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The worst thing that could happen is nothing. You know, the best thing that could happen. The best thing that could happen is a bunch of people with the same information may wind up communing in some spiritual way. And there's nothing wrong with that either. So, you know, I'm all for, you know what, even making up any meditations or rituals. If people can find some solace and healing and inspiration from even a random date that they pull and they all agree to work on that date and meet each other in a certain kind of vortex or space continuum, whatever, who am I to say? Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah, if our intentions are in the same direction, I say go for it. And why are they calling it in particular the Lionsgate in this instance? Do you know?
I don't know. I thought it was something that was only visual from an astronomy point of view or at a certain time in this period between the end of July and the middle of August.
Well, if that's the case, then it would have to be back to the Egyptian idea that I was speaking about before, because July 23rd is the 0 degree of Leo, and if they're calling it the Lion's Gate, then most likely that's what they're referring to astrologically. So I could see that.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, if people can get into that, but the Leo energy, what we're dealing with right now, is a fifth house kind of creative energy, which is rules romance, children, gambling, enjoyment, all of the pleasures of life, and a creative aspect. So if that's what they're aiming for during that time frame, I can't see why there's anything wrong with that. And I hope that they achieve what they're trying to do with that.
I agree, and I agree with you 100%. So let me ask you, because now I'm going to ask a heavy question.
Sure.
What's not okay? Where do you draw the line? Where would you say to somebody, yeah, that's not okay, and you shouldn't really be moving forward with that? Because I find that in our practices, right, there are clients that push boundaries, and they want you to push boundaries. And I have very definite places where I won't go. I'm like, I'm not doing it, and neither should you, because one, you don't know what you're doing, and two, there can be a backlash, and we need to be careful what we do. So where is that line for you? When do you tell clients, yeah, that's not a good idea?
Well, as famously as you know, I am the psychic of no, meaning if you have to ask, the answer is no. I completely agree with you, and you know that I don't agree with anybody about anything, but I completely agree with you, and here is my line. when your will goes against another person's will, and in some mystical groups we call it the true will, if it is Sheena's decision to be the world's top person doing this particular activity, whether it be actress, whatever, you only have so far that your energy can reach. If you're going out of your way, not you, I'm just going to say a person, the person is going out of their way to overreach their natural boundary and starting to inflict their energy on another person's free will, that even like 10 degrees, I'm out of the game. I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
And growing up, because I have a lot of Leo in my chart, I'm telling you, I crossed that boundary many a time. But at this point, you know, actually for many, many years, I'm like, you know what? What makes you so special? Cut it out. And again, being spiritual and psychic,
it
can make you feel you've got this inside edge. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
God's going to keep it real. Because otherwise you and I would have won the lottery by now and would be off skiing in the Alps or whatever. So God keeps it real. So my boundary is once my decision or my true will is impinging or infringing upon your free will or your true will, that's it. Forget it. And, you know, one of the famous things is love spells and love
of
magic and sex magic. You cannot believe the insane requests that I get.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't because you're psychic. You can see it.
I can. Yeah, I can.
I just did a podcast.
No, I can.
Called Love Spells.
I had somebody ask me once, a client, if I could. So client likes boy like somebody else, and client asked me if there was a spell to kill her.
Oh my gosh!
And I said, well, I'm sure there is, but it sure as hell isn't coming from me. And if you are going to try to do it yourself with like a YouTube tutorial, remember that everything that we do spiritually, whether it's positive or negative, it's like a boomerang and it comes back. And if you put that kind of negative intention out there, something, you know what I mean? She may very well die. And then a month later, you may die or he may die. Like, you don't want to mess with stuff like that because it's all going to come back at you. But people, could you kill her? Yeah.
Aside from that, I'm an absolute occult scholar, literally and figuratively, and I'm telling people, like what you said before, you can have what you want, but why do you want it? You will suffer repercussion from that. And beyond karma, because you and I have seen somebody like throw a rubber band at somebody in first grade, and the wrong person gets hit in the face with it like a bad Three Stooges movie. The old fat lady gets the pie in the face. And they were aiming for Mo. And it's really funny in the movie, but it's not funny in real life. And what I've tried to do, and I hope that your listeners will really learn something wonderful from this. So the last time somebody asked me for a love spell, I said, this is the best one I know. So everybody write this down. Write it down right now. Get your pens out. Right. The best love spell I know as a famous psychic is this. Be lovable. That is the best spell I know. If you can't be lovable, then you're wasting your time. The spell that comes before that is please let me learn to love myself in a proper way and in a balanced way, not a way that makes me feel like, oh, I'm so special. Let me accept and love myself so that I can feel lovable, so that people will naturally be attracted to me. That is the best love spell. Now, the other bad thing, I hate to say the word bad, but I will just say it, the bad thing about doing love spells on people is you think you know what is good for you. Well, last time I checked, don't tell God how to do his job. Okay, God has a plan for everyone. If you think you're smarter than God, I feel sorry for you. So when you're doing a love spell or even a spell for money or just some kind of gain because you feel a lack, when you do a spell like that, you're psychically reaffirming the fact that you don't have what you want. Not only that, you're throwing your timing off because the person who's looking to love you is as lonely for you as you are for them. And in the meantime, your spell just worked, and now you're with some bunny head for 2.5 years while your true love goes off and marries the wrong woman or man.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you never see these stories in the Inquirer. Oh, like 70-year-old high school sweethearts find each other again. That is the consequence of that kind of magic, is you just completely throw yourself off. So getting back to your question on boundaries, that's my boundary.
Yeah.
And I stick
no,
to
I'm,
it.
No, I'm the same way. Yeah. I'm the same way. It's like, look, if you want to... If you want to do an intention, right, and a spell and an intention are basically the same thing,
to remove
obstacles from your life in order to become somebody who's ready for this relationship, fantastic. If you want to do a healing spell on somebody that you, let's say you're in love with someone and they're having trouble getting over past trauma, if you want to send healing to them that they heal, so that perhaps then they will come around and be the kind of partner that you want. That's all. That's fantastic. Or sending somebody a healing intention that they get sober or whatever it is that gets them to a healthy place.
Yeah,
but when you start messing with things like, I want him to no longer talk to her.
I want her to die.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not a good place to go, because then you have a relationship that's based on that. You know what I mean? That's based on that kind of manipulation. And spirituality is not supposed to be used for manipulation.
No, and there's two other weird little details about that, too. Say you are doing a spell on someone, and they do fall in love with you, and you're in this mad, passionate, lovemaking scenario, and then you look deep into their eyes, and then you think, do they really love me? Or am I just a really good spellcaster? Just like they say, live by the sword, die by the sword. Whatever you get by magic, it's not forever. You're going to have to be burning those candles till the cows come home. Your whole house will be smelling like incense. Because you have to keep the spell up. It's called plastic surgery for the soul. It does. I love those pictures of, you know, Kylie Jenner when she takes a selfie with no makeup, but only $100,000 worth of plastic surgery. It's like, knock yourself out.
Right,
but don't
sit
there and pretend that you're naturally beautiful. You know, magic, what I call magic, Sheena, magic is a kickstand on a bicycle. It can prop you up. It can help you to a certain extent, but it cannot change what things are. There's an inherent, like if you did an in vitro of a monkey embryo into an ostrich, you're going to get a monkey. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's just the way stuff works. You know, so I don't know what kind of people are out there, but I will say a friend of mine called me recently and she wanted to get some certain kind of candle and I was going to help her out. And I gave her some links. And this is the warehouse of metaphysical paraphernalia in the world. It's something like a 60,000 square foot, like, industrial complex. And guess what? They were out of spell casting materials.
I bet. I think people are sitting home during COVID and just spell casting everything because they got nothing to do
and
but be at home, you know?
That's right. And look at the headlines. Have you seen the headlines? I'm like, people have way too much time on their hands. So, you know, I'm really grateful that you have a show like this and I have my podcast just to, you know, to like let people know what is going on.
Yeah. And places that you shouldn't go, that you don't need to tap into darkness. And
no,
do you know what I mean?
Already.
Right, exactly. And I know there are people that think like it's cool to, oh, I'm cool because I'm going to be evil, or I'm cool because I'm going to say I love Satan. And it's like, okay, well, that's all well and good. But the bottom line is, under all the indoctrination of what evil is, what Satan is, what jinns are, whatever, under all that, there is the core balance of the universe that is light and dark. And those two things
that's
are
right.
always kind of struggling to get the spotlight, right? So if you
right.
are calling on darkness, but in your mind you think you're just playing a funny game and like Satan's some cool cat who's going to free you from your Christian upbringing, okay, but you're still calling on darkness. And you don't know when that darkness is going to show up your door and be like, hi, you called me. And then you're not going to know what the hell to do with yourself. So dabbling
absolutely.
In darkness, and that includes dark hand magic, which includes spell work. Doing spell work when you
yeah.
don't know what you're doing. I had a client say to me once, she wanted this guy to come back. Right? It's always about the guy that's not coming back. Or it's about the woman that's not coming back. I mean, it's always
mm-hmm.
something that has to do with the love, right? She said, oh, I'm
right.
going to go in my backyard, and my friend and I are going to do a blood ritual. And I was like, whoa.
Oh, great.
Let's
my
stop right there. And she was like, what?
My first thought is,
what?
Wait a minute. He might have a brain cell left in order that made him want to leave her in the first place.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
so she's going to go out in the backyard, dance around the fire, say a bunch of something to darkness, cut herself, and bleed all over whatever dark thing she's praying to. I'm like, oh, my God,
oh,
that
my
is
Lord.
Honestly, why don't you just step in front of a bus and do it easy? I mean, I don't understand why anybody would think that was a good idea. If you have to call on darkness to get you a date, you shouldn't be with that person. That's not good.
And let's think about this, shall we? All right, you have the 72 angels that were cast out of heaven with their little buddy Lucifer, crashed down
right.
to wherever, in hell, wherever. Yeah, these guys are super connected, right? Because they have so much power, they were able to stay at the right hand of God. No,
exactly.
Incorrect.
Exactly, right.
They got zero power. They're laughing. Laughing at people going, what? I'll tell you, if you ever want to just watch a horror movie without turning the TV on, go on to the Reddit magic forums and try not to lose it, because, oh, my God, you cannot believe the insanity of people on there. You just can't believe it.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
I have actually created some Discord servers to get people to come and get some sense talked into them. So if they think they're going to be doing some crazy stuff, I'm like, you know, you might want to check out this Discord server where I discuss these kind of things. And it's been really helpful to so many people to disengage them from their really cracked ideas of what magic is. And by the way, there's quite
yeah.
a few really horrible, very popular authors these days writing the worst nonsense I've ever read in my life as an occult scholar. And these kids are out there doing this stuff unconscionably. And I literally just had two new students that had a schizophrenic episode doing magic. And they asked me, what should I do, Box? And you know what I told them? I said, leave it alone. Go.
Yeah.
Away. Do not do. Don't you think I could make some money teaching classes? You know?
Yeah.
I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want your money.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody's
yeah.
mental illness on my conscience. No. But I will tell them what to do, and I will tell them what prayers to say, and I will keep them away from darkness, and I will keep them away from things that are going to hurt them. I will be glad to teach them tarot and astrology and Kabbalah and some very high-minded spiritual practices, psychic development. I'm all for that. But teaching people how to hurt themselves with bad information, just count me out. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I won't do it.
I'm the same
right?
way. I'm the same way. Not only that, but if a psychic is telling you they're going to do that for you, don't trust that person, because that's not good.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
Psychics
nope.
are like anybody else. There's good people and there's bad people. And if somebody is offering to do that stuff for you, that is not somebody you should
no.
be dealing with.
No. And this is why I think you know? Our friends, one really wonderful element, and why the universe has seen fit to put us on the airwaves, because
I agree.
We are beacons of intelligence and compassion and genuine concern for humanity.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yes.
You know, what else can you say? Astrology
yeah.
also may be seen like a dark art to some people, but, you know, Christianity was based upon it with the three wise men following a star. If you learn that astrology, numerology, and all these techniques and methods are merely tools to understand and recognize patterns in the universe that can spell things out for you that you can't get any other way, then yeah, avail yourself of that. But don't think that we're controlled by anything other than our own free will and our desire and hopefully love for the universe and love for whatever God is. We can't prove what God is. I don't know.
No.
I studied
no.
Hebrew, Greek, Coptic. I don't know. I can't even say what God is, but I know that I love God, and I know that I try to live my life righteously. And that wasn't always the case because I was a rapscallion for a few years. But, you know, once you realize the immensity of your psychic gift, you realize that you have to wield it very carefully.
I agree. Yeah. The more powerful you are psychically, the more reverent you should be to your higher power. Because
Absolutely.
Your gifts are not to be squandered and they're not to be used for ill.
No. And quite frankly, the universe decided to throw money at me doing these things. I'm a musician, an artist, and a poet, and a painter, and I type 152 words a minute. Wonderful. But God never let that be linear for me, never like let anything happen for me. People started seeking out weird things that I would say or do, and I never requested anybody pay me anything. And people literally started throwing money at me, and I was like, whoa. Maybe the universe is trying to tell me something. But even to this day, there are people that if they can't afford it, I'll read them for free. It's not
yeah.
it's not like this money-growing empire that I'm trying to create. Screw that.
Right.
And, you know, there's so much energy that we put out. Nobody could even afford to pay for the kind of energy that we put out anyway. It's just free to the universe, free to people who want to hear it, learn from it, and grow from it. Because if you look at our world
yeah.
right now, wow. We need some help. It's like, we need some good people out there. We need some angel people, you know.
I agree. I absolutely
yeah.
agree. Yeah. We need more people who are more connected to themselves and to spirit, better seated inside
yes.
themselves, as my mama used to say.
It's true.
We need a
very well spoken.
Too many folks
very,
are disconnected
well
from everything, or they're halfway plugged in. I always liken it to like when you're vacuuming and the plug is stretched as far as it'll go, and if you move the vacuum forward, it turns off, and if you pull the vacuum back, it turns back on. I think a lot of people think they're connected, but they're sort of halfway plugged in like that. So they're constantly becoming
yeah.
finding themselves in peril, and the peril is really a result of the feeling of disconnection. You got to connect all the way, and then your life becomes so much better and so much easier.
Another thing, too, that I think gives people the false sense of connection is social media and the internet, because people are confusing information with facts, knowledge, and wisdom. And they're just becoming, you know, completely glutted with garbage. Just total garbage, you know, stuff that's not important, stuff that's not, like, really, do you really need to photograph your chocolate pudding? Really?
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Right.
We
well,
in
the selfies, right, we're becoming obsessed with our own everyday stuff. And,
you know, the great
obsessed
Aquarian,
with our own lives.
I do believe Andy Warhol was an Aquarius, I do believe. And he was the one
uh-huh.
who predicted everybody was going to have their 15 minutes of fame. And boy, oh boy, did he get that right on the nose.
We're all getting it now, aren't we?
Yeah, when George Orwell predicted 1984, Big Brother looking at us, he didn't realize we were going to be our own Big Brother, broadcasting all of our personal information.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Just walking right into it, right into it. So, you know,
every time
we're here on the airwaves, sharing this information with people, getting people to be grounded, hopefully, and think about what they want. Because the worst thing I could say about magic is that it works, just not the way you thought it would.
Exactly. Absolutely. And on that, my friend, we're completely out of time. Where can people find you online? And I can't wait to have you back.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody can go to my website at voxx.org, voxx.org. You can also reach me by text first, which is 323-782-0222. And on my site, you'll have links on my social media page for all of my different places like Facebook, Insta, and all that. And I just started a new podcast called To the Moon with Vox, and I'm going to have you on there, Sheena. And it's a really wild, fun ride. Yeah, so check it out, and I look forward to speaking with you again, and many blessings to all of your fans and listeners, and God bless you all.
Thank you, my friend. Everybody, the wonderful Vox Voltaire, always a joy to have here, my friend. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. This is for all of my spiritual and psychic needs. If you want to know anything about me, you can go there and find out. I'm also an interfaith minister. My monthly service is SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. And I'm a 26-year talk radio host here at Live Paranormal Now twice a week, about to add my third show. Right now, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific for Raising the Vibration and Haunted Playground, respectively. Tuesday, Wednesday night, and sometimes Friday nights, I am on Live Paranormal's video channel doing I Am Raising Your Vibration, Haunted Playground After Dark, and the Soulmate Experience. Soulmate Experience is going to come back and we'll be there more regularly. And also we'll soon be adding my Sheena Metal Experience radio show to the Live Paranormal radio network here. We're at liveparanormal.com, hauntedplayground.com, sheenametalspiritual.com. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always raise your vibration. Stay spooky. Believe in all the things outside the three dimensions, my friends. I'll see you next time. I love you.